UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Hi, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hi. Welcome to radio. Oh, what are you going to start right at the start? We're going to start with this. Is he in there? State your business. What the hell are you doing in there? We're not even on 2 minutes yet.
The stream's not working, so we're trying to fix it.
Oh, you know, that was pretty cool, by the way. Because I walk in and I sit down. I'm here in the studio, and Lachlan is over on remote somewhere at Sternberg. And so I can get in the studio a little earlier. So I'm sitting here, and I'm looking. I'm like, wow, 40 texts. He must be on some sort of roll. And I read them, and they're all, hey, the text, hey, the stream's down. Hey, the stream's down. Hey, Jackass, the stream's down. Hey, the stream's down. Do you know the stream's down? Hey, Spithead, the stream's down. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a good way to get your texting numbers up. I'm going to walk in there and yank the cord one day and then just walk in here and watch the text come in and see what kind of names they call us when the stream is down. So, yeah, that was, okay. I mean, he does get a lot of texts, but that was pretty intriguing, to say the least. It's We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. So, by the way, does that mean we're on the air? He's been on the air and we were on the air, but we're not streaming either right now. So it makes no sense to swear, because those are the only people who can enjoy it are the people on the stream, and they're not able to stream. Unless I go out on the sidewalk and cuss at somebody, I can do that. That might be entertaining. And just open the door. Hey, you. Hey, Spithead. Have the guy turn around. Yes? Sorry, just was doing that because I can't do it on the stream. So, well, that's okay. You're the guy who states your business, right? Great. Cool. Great. Fine. Let me come in there. You can yell at me. Yeah, cool. Come on in. A lot of things to do. We Want to Know Wednesday. And We Want to Know Wednesday featuring one of the world's most famous basketball teams. You should have ready to go at any given moment their theme song, because, by the way, that is spectacularly good. I actually could just listen to it, maybe because it's so symbolic of the team, but it's only the one version, the original version with the whistling in it. It is Sweet Georgia Brown, the theme song, of course, of the one and only Harlem Globetrotters. They will be in town playing at the KFC Yum Center, and we're going to be very pleased in the 1 o'clock hour, about 1:30, to have Brianna Hoops Green join us. Well, that's with the dialogue in it, though. It's quality, great work. She's going to come in and join us. She went to Lexington Catholic, a fine player. She went to UTEP. She's one of only, I think, 15 women to play with the Globetrotters. And if you watch it online, you can see some of her video antics with them. She does a great job, and I think you'll enjoy meeting Hoops Green, who will join us at 1:30. So here are some factoids about the Globetrotters. Did you know the Globetrotters have retired 7 numbers? I'm going to guess that many of you, especially older listeners, will know at least 3 or 4 of them. And arguably all of them. I mean, not like, wow, I'm great, but I've heard of all of these people because they are they were legendary Globetrotter players. And so I'll give you a second to see how many you can name. Think of them, and then I'll come back to it so you can think a little bit and get that done. But there's great factoids about the Globetrotters. The Globetrotters were actually founded in Chicago by Abe Saperstein, but it was an all-black team, and he wanted to associate with something that was very much culturally considered a mecca of African-American entertainment and activity, and so that was Harlem. So he called them the Harlem Globetrotters, and that's how they got their name, even though they had nothing to do with Harlem. They have played over 26,000 games in their career, 26,000 performances, if you want to call it that. They are still beloved by people. When they started, African-Americans couldn't get into the NBA. The NBA, I'm not even sure, was around, to be honest with you. In fact, the NBA used to book them as the prelim to the game because more people would come see the Globetrotters than would want to go see the NBA game. And they were very often the best black players in the country. No disrespect to the group that's there now, but I don't think anybody's going to confuse them with Anthony Davis or LeBron James. They don't have that caliber of player. But they did play seriously way back in their early days. In 1940, they won the World Professional Basketball Tournament. They beat the Chicago Bruins 31-29. They won the championship. So they at one time were made up of the very best players in the country. Now they've got good players who are great showmen and showwomen, and that's what they do, and they make a great day. So here are the retired numbers in ascending order. Number 13 is Wilt Chamberlain, who played 1 year for them when he left Kansas before he went to play in the NBA. Number 20 was the guy that was promoted as the world's greatest dribbler, Marcus Haynes, number 20. Fred Curly Neal, most kids who were not millennials, but I guess what's the group behind them? Generation X. What's between boomers and millennials? And
that's a great question.
I don't know. Whatever that.
I'll have
group
to look
is.
It up for the we want to know Wednesday.
It's like a gap wedge in golf. The gap wedge people. Curly Neal, Charles Tex Harrison, number 34. Hubert Geese Ausby, who was with one of the successors after Goose Tatum, who's another one who was retired, and then maybe the most famous Globetrotter of all, Meadowlark Lemon. There's your seven Globetrotters who've had their numbers retired. Wilt Chamberlain, Marcus Haynes, Curly Neal, Tex Harrison, Geese Ausby, Meadowlark Lemon, and Goose Tatum. And Meadowlark, of course, played for them for 25 years and then came back one more time. He retired in 79. He came back and played in 93, one game, kind of like a let's bring him back. And he was in his 60s then, so very entertaining. There also was a Saturday cartoon show. I don't think you're old enough to remember that either. You remember that? You remember the Globetrotters cartoon show?
No, but I remember I used to have a tape of a Scooby-Doo special with the Globetrotters.
That's right. They were on Scooby-Doo. They were on Scooby-Doo as a I guess they were the guest stars, weren't they? Is that what the deal was? But they also whoever the company was that did the Globetrotters cartoon, it was the same production company that was doing the new Scooby-Doo stuff. So you could see the drawing is a similar style. I guess it was Hanna-Barbera. Yes, it was. Here it is right here. Harlem Globetrotters, a Hanna-Barbera Saturday morning cartoon, was on the air from 1970 to 73. The Go-Go Globetrotters. And they were a very popular children. I still have somewhere in my storage a Harlem Globetrotters pinball game. Yeah, it's very cool. It's one of the better pinball games out there. So there you go. So there we're going to talk a little Globetrotters. It's We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. I got to see. I don't know. Do we have tickets? I don't know if we have tickets. I don't know if part of the deal is we have tickets. Because we have tickets, that should be the prize for the best We Want to Know Wednesday factoid.
I can go back
us.
And check.
Well, we'll check during the commercial break. There's no reason for you to go now. You're not Nick. You can stay here. You don't have to. Nick would use that as absolutely the catalyst to go in the back, ask about the tickets, have a cup of coffee, visit with the sales crew, maybe play a set of tennis, and come on back up here and join us. Maybe right about top of the
only
hour.
One set of tennis? You're not cutting him enough slack.
He had the flu, the big head of producer, which is why he's not here today. He's better. He's done 100%. You've had the flu. You know that. It's 2 days of agony. And then the last day, is you feel like a dish rag that's been wrung out. He's on that day today. Yesterday, his fever broke. It was 103. That's pretty high. And then it broke, and he was gradually getting better and better. Monday, he sounded like he was auditioning for the Marlon Brando role in The Godfather. I talked to him, how you doing, Dad? Good to see you. I'd like to come and see you, but they make me an offer I don't refuse. So, I can't. I can't keep asking what their business is because I know they're frantically trying to upstream. So I won't ask them anymore. He's better today, but he needs one more day to get back on his feet. So hopefully he'll be back in tomorrow. 437-9680. Louisville wins. Kentucky wins last night. Good win for Kentucky on the road at Georgia. That's a team that definitely could have given them trouble. Close game, down at the half, came back, won it. And then Louisville, you know, for all of the dominance, quote unquote, they had at Miami, they actually won by more last night than they did down in Miami. So it's part of the problem is, you know, there's two things. I've said this before. It's not college football. You don't have to worry about style points. And people are very concerned about that because in football, you know, you're trying to impress the pollsters so they get voted into the playoffs with the cockamamie way they do football. They used to anyway, and they still do to some degree. So there's a little bit of that. And you know, I think that's part of the problem. It really doesn't – you're just trying to win the game. You're just trying to win the game. There's no question about that. And you look right now, and hey, don't take that for granted. Virginia Tech went to Syracuse and beat them. The defending national champions lost at Boston College in front of their 1,500 fans. So that's terrible to say, but it's not exactly a dynamic atmosphere there. And so, hey, everybody gets beat. So you get a win. They're 3-1. And now comes a key stretch, three straight road games. That is going to be a very, 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 can't say it enough, important stretch of the season. And Kentucky with you win on the road against the quality team, it's kind of like a win and a half. That's Georgia's opener. I don't know, maybe they won't be quality when it's all said and done, but I think they are. And that was their conference opener. So good win for the Cats. We got some texts here, some of which I want address. Let's see. This is a basketball question. These are my favorites. Explain to me why defenses give up the baseline. Because they're not, and again, this will sound like I'm being snarky, but I'm not. It's because they're not playing in your local Jewish community league or the CYO, the local, you know, church league. You don't give up the baseline there because the guy goes along the baseline and, you know, you get beat and they give up. That was the first thing we were taught when we were kids. Never give up the baseline. Take your foot and put it out of bounds. Put it on the line so they can't go around you on the baseline. That's changed because of the length and athleticism of players. And they don't give up the baseline, but they force you to the baseline. The thought being, if I can get you to go on along the very deep baseline and keep you there, don't let you go past me, but just pin you down there, you're behind the basket. You're in a terrible place because you're going to have – it's like quadruple teamed if you do it right. Because a guy goes along the baseline, his defender doesn't trail him. He's alongside him. He's keeping him deeper than the basket. So now he's one defender. The baseline is a second defender. Guys are so big and long now, they're coming from across the lane, hands up. That's really difficult to see. You say, well, he doesn't just throw the pass to the other side of the floor. Well, he's got a guy flying at him who's 6'10", 6'11", with a 7'5 wingspan. Not that easy. And then, frankly, the basket's in the way. Now, if you try and throw it to the other side of the court, you throw it or you hit the backboard. So it's literally like being four defenders, and people came to understand that. So, you know, so many things that you used to be taught years ago about the game are completely off the map now. They used to never throw a diagonal pass. Now everybody wants you to throw a diagonal pass, a skip pass. You know, you never screen the ball. There was a big era in the 70s when, you know, whatever you do, don't screen the ball. Now everybody screens the ball. So same thing with that. It's not like they're getting beat baseline. They're forcing the ball baseline because they feel like they're pushing the ball into a position where you're going to wind up being basically quadruple teamed. The thing that some teams will do, and it was a pass that UB Brown used before most, at least when I first started coaching, he was the one that used to advocate it more, is the pass that you throw. You don't throw high. You don't try and throw over that guy coming from the other side. And you certainly can't throw a bounce pass through traffic because there's 9 million people in the lane. But you throw it behind the baseline, basically. You throw it, you know, so it's you're throwing it to the guy in the other corner way behind the basket. There's going to be, you know, if you can get your extension far enough basically over the out of bounds, it's very hard to steal that pass. So that's the one they'll look for. But A, it's a long pass and usually gives you time to recover. B, it's not that easy a pass. You know, you're facing still a lot of adversity there. That guy coming across to help can still get a hand on it. That passing it from out of bounds, the guy in the other corner is kind of leaning out of bounds to get it. That's very often mishandled. So it's not that easy. So that's your answer. They just feel it's not a very, very productive place to have the ball anymore. But that's largely a byproduct of the athleticism and the size of the new players. If you do it in your local league, you know, that guy goes along the baseline, he's probably got a lot of room. So that explains why they do it at that level. Let's see. Is iHeart dead? Here we go. More tech stuff coming in about more text coming in about the stream. So we're getting lots of text. If you're going to define us by our text, we're rolling today. Well, that one didn't call us a name. Here we go. More Harlem Globetrotters. We want to know Wednesday. We got a nice prize for you. I don't know what the hell it'll be, but it might be Globetrotter tickets. Might not be. I don't know, but it'll be something good. You know what I want, by the way? I've got to see if I can ask her on the air and shame her into getting somebody. Because if you ask on the air, they generally try not to say no. But she may have it out because she might say, well, I'd be happy to, but it's not my decision. I want one of their red, white, and blue balls that they play with. Have you seen those?
I have one at home, yeah.
A Globetrotter ball? A real one? A Baden ball? A real one?
I don't know if it's a real
or
one.
Or just
a
souvenir one that they sell at the stand. I want the real one they play with.
Well, it's not official size, so no.
You got a little too excited about that. Official 29.5-inch size basketball that they play with, red, white, and blue. It's because there's a bunch of people who make these fake red, white, and blue ones. The panels are too narrow. This is like the old ABA ball. It was 8 as process gets beckoned. I can't take this personally because this actually started during Lock Show. But it is appropriate that most of the repair work will be done during the V show. That is how we roll here. In fact, I really had to draw the line last week when Patty Ice brought his car in to have the tires rotated in the studio during my show. They said, no, just drive right in there. That'll be fine. Do that during the V show. That's fine. You should. That's fine. But we're doing good. We want to know Wednesdays. This one says the Globetrotters were also guest stars on Gilligan's Island. Which is fantastically ridiculous that the Globetrotters would be on Gilligan's Island, but those people couldn't get off. All these people came to see them on the island, but they just, you talk about the willful suspension of disbelief. That was it when you watched that show, that's for sure. Most exciting basketball game I ever watched on TV was a Globetrotter game. The Generals hit a 3 to go up 2 with a second on the clock. Dude from the Trots hit a 40-footer at the buzzer to win. That's unusual. The Generals must have been a guy saying, I don't care, my contract's up. I'm going to beat him. Because they're not supposed to do that. Oh, my. Yes, guy says, as to the driving along the baseline, the guys are so big and long now. Hey, that should make the mixtape. That's absolutely the truth. That's why there's no place to go. There's no place to go there. Yes, we get it, folks. If you're just joining us, the stream is down. We got it. No, it's like the equivalent of no more calls. We have a winner. We got it. Factoids for We Want to Know Wednesday coming in. Greg Maddux faced 20,421 batters during his career, and only 310 of them saw a 3-0 count. 177 of those were intentional walks. So that would mean only 133 batters out of 20,421 he ever went to 3-0 against. Wow. That's a rather remarkable stat. No question about that. I'll tell you what, we'll take a short break. We'll come back and we'll get into some more details, especially about the Louisville game. Again, I didn't see the UK game. By the time I get out of the post-game stuff with Chris and Paul and I finish up, it's halftime. And then I'd be quite honest with you, I had a bite to eat on the way home. By the time I got home, the Kentucky game was over. So I didn't see much of it. But I did read. I was listening a little bit in the car. I know they were down a couple of points at the half. And then the second half, they got good performances.
You want to take the call first before we go to break?
Who is this person?
Softball Dad Dustin. He's We Want to Know Wednesday.
Oh, good. I like the We Want to Know Wednesday call. Sure. Let's get the We Want to Know Wednesday pump primed. SDD, Softball Dad Dustin. What's going on, bud?
Hey, are you having a good day?
Yes, I am. How? Well, you going to ruin it now for me or what?
Look, this is... I'm assuming Mickey's listening at home.
Right? I think he is, correct.
Okay, so this is not We Want to Know Wednesday. This is We Want to Know Which Whale Penis Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Working in some sponsors and the never-ending We Want to Know Wednesday with the whale penis, which will not, it's like a Treddy in the movies. It will not die no matter what we do. It keeps coming back. But okay, go ahead.
Which, the premise of my call, a pig and boar's penis is shaped very similarly to its tail in that it is curved.
And What would you like me to do with that information exactly?
Well, I'm just passing it along.
Right. And as always, we go to the internet to verify, and STD, you are correct. The corkscrew penis of a mature male pig. This is not going to turn into Penis Wednesday. I'm not going to allow it. We'll abandon the feature if that's what it comes down to. Nick, I don't care what you've started. We are not going to turn that into that. But inevitably, since I'm damn curious about everything, the reason, see, the nature, God, however, it's always a reason for things. A boar has a corkscrew-shaped penis, which fits into the corkscrew-shaped cervix of the sow. There you go. Sweeney's loving this somewhere. This is making more palatable the stream being down, as we once again have worked animal reproductive organs into our Wednesday show. As I said, I don't do sports radio, but I really, really don't mean to do zoology, or what is the study of animals? I don't know what this is, but it's certainly not animal. I don't want to become the Dr. Ruth of farm animals. Thank you, though, for that, volunteering that. The Generals have 3 all-time victories over the Trotters. Is that true? I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure that's true.
I don't know if it's exactly 3, but they have one before.
Oh, no, they have one. Nick probably isn't listening because the stream is down. Well, he has a radio. He's here in town, sir or ma'am. We want to know Wednesday. The Washington Generals. Oh, I hit the one. It's screwed down to another penis one. I don't want that. The Washington Generals actually try their hardest to beat the Globies. No, they don't. They don't. Stop it. See, this is somebody's trying to tell me wrestling's real. Like, when the guy does the world's greatest dribbler thing, have you watched the person defending them? It's all, and that's nothing wrong with it. It's entertainment. They're great dribblers. It's fantastic. It's fun. It's not taking away from the skill of the dribbler.
What if
but there
like
is it? No way. Could you imagine if the if all of a sudden the general said, hey, listen, tonight, when they go into the dribbling routine, Tommy, you and Sam here, go trap him. Let's double team him. It would be, hey, Tommy, Sam, come on into the office after the show. Listen, we want to thank you for your service, but we won't be needing you anymore for the rest of the trip. We got 2 guys from the crowd who understand English, and we told you don't chase them when they dribble. Let them do their show.
What if that Dexter was an 8-year-old kid and he just crushed his dreams?
Yes, that's the new headline. The Globies. I swear it's true. They know they have to. No, 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 no. They want you to believe that. They do not actually try to win, because if they were, what would you do? If the guy were trying to win the game and the guy took that damn basketball on the string at the foul line, that rubber, the bungee cord thing, and threw it at me, I'd yank it out of his hands and I'd kick it in the seats. Hey, that's funny, pal. I got your string right here. Shoot the free throw. Stop. But it doesn't mean they're not great players, and it doesn't mean that the skill that they show when they are doing the dribbling routine or any of that, but it's entertainment. Just enjoy it for what it is. Stop it. They're out there trying to. I mean, it's silly. I had a kid who played for me once. The only thing there is some merit to is I had a guy who played for me at St. Francis. And we were not a good Division I team. I mean, when I got the job there, the year before I got there, they were 2-26. So, give you an idea. And he, out of school, became a guy who played against the Globetrotters. And he didn't play very much for us. So, yes. I mean, I guess you can say they aren't taking the best opposition for them. But, no, it's, come on, it's not a legitimate game. In fact, there was a few years ago, they tried to show they had good players. And if you remember, they played a bunch of preseason exhibitions. Remember that? Against college. And that was good because they do have some good players. I'm not raining on anybody's parade. They're fine players, but the premise is to entertain. And that's a good thing. They're great with kids. They're always in the crowd. They're taking selfies. It's just a fun day for kids to be part of it. And, you know, even like somebody, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure I've ever seen them in person. I know most of their routines. The water bucket with the confetti and the ball on the string on the free throw. They were on TV all the time when I was a kid. And it's very entertaining. And they're good players. You know, Curly Neal, who played for them for years. I mean, you can't manufacture that. He's definitely a great dribbler. But do you think that they're really trying to take the ball from him? Well, they are if they're trying to make their way to the unemployment line, but they're certainly not. They're not. It's not exactly legitimate, but they're good players, and it's a great show, a great great show, and guys, I'm going to cling to the fact they're trying to win the game. So outside the sketches, they try to win. All right, well, maybe a little bit, but you know, if there's eight sketches and each of those eight sketches amounts to a basket, you're spotting them 16 points. So, you know, it's going to be tough if you spot anybody 16 points every game, but I don't really believe. I mean, maybe they're trying to win in the sense they don't go out and they're missing shots on purpose, but, you know, if you were trying to win, could you see them coming out one day playing as a Globy zone? they go to a press, guy's on a bench coaching his ass, 1-3-1, they're trapping in the corners. hey, don't let Curley get it, he's a real good dribbler. If he gets it, he's going to make it, chase him all around, he's going to slide on his knees. I've scouted them. I've played them every night for the last 9 years. Trust me, he gets it and he's going to dribble all around. He passes out scouting reports. All right, here, to stop him from sliding on his knees. We can get the ball back. I just know it. I mean, come on. Let's just be fair about this. Don't take it. I guess for the record, I didn't say it's a legit game. I know it's not. Okay. All right. But I just think that it's very difficult to interpret it. They're in a really, the Generals are in a rough patch. They're 3-25,997. I just.
But is it still a rivalry?
Yeah.
You know, the Generals need to win at least every once in a while.
You'd think that guy would be on the hot seat. Sir, we had to call you in. Whoa, you haven't won a game since 1997. But we've been closer. We're doing better. We got to find a game.
You talk about the scouting reports. Maybe you should change the scouting reports.
Every night I'm screaming at you from the owner's box. He's going to dribble. That bald guy is going to run and slide around and dribble. Stop it. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. ESPN 680-1057.
You're listening to the V-Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
A part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
That's intriguing. This was at one time a company phone, which we no longer have the trade with the company, but I wanted to keep the number since so many people had it. So it's actually a Michigan number, and I get. But the great thing is, because I know I don't have to bother answering any of them, there are 25 calls a day from Michigan from those robocall things that are just somebody trying to sell me basically health insurance, sometimes telling me my car warranty is out, and it's just always from Michigan. I guess I don't know how that works. I guess if you have a business in that part, it just randomly picks numbers in that area code and calls them. But it's a blessing in disguise because I don't even bother to answer them because I just know it's somebody who's. That's going to be my luck one day, you know. I don't know. Adam Silver's going to be in Michigan, and he's going, I got to call Bob for some reason. I'm going to answer that phone. Yeah, that's going to happen. Here's more We Want to Know Wednesdays. We Want to Know Wednesdays. We Want to Know Wednesdays. Derek Grant and Jonte Hall both played for the Washington Generals and the Globetrotters. The Washington Generals wiki page is a great read. All right, I'll take the bait. Let's take a look at that. Because I think most people would agree, if you're older, you would know. Who is the most famous Washington Generals player of all time? And that would be the immortal Red Klotz. Red Klotz played, I think, in the NBA, the early years of the NBA. He was the player coach of the Generals when I was a kid. He'd come out there. He had to be in his 50s, and he'd be shooting two-hand set shots. And there he is, the Red Klotz. You couldn't name another Washington General, but he was with them. Let's go see Washington Generals basketball team. Here it is, Wikipedia. They play exhibition games against the Harlem Globetrotters. They've also played under several different aliases. They were just dissolved in 2015. That's the year I think the Globies were going to try and play like exhibition games against colleges and play for real. And then they were like, well, that's entertaining. But the people just want to be, you know, have shtick and fun. And so they got reformed in 2017 and they've come out and played against them. And they are the general manager is Kenny the Jet Smith. Let's see if we can get, let's get Kenny on the show and see what he's looking for in terms of drafting players for the Generals. Like, does he feel the pressure to try and win a game this decade? I wonder what's going through his mind. The head coach is Sam Worthen, who was a former NBA player from Brooklyn. So there you go. Kenny Smith is the general manager. Honestly, come on. What the hell does he have to do? I mean, does he really do anything? That's terrible to say. He's probably, watch, he's working his butt off. He's in some tiny, sweaty little office.
Going to all these small colleges around the country.
He's surrounded by, you know, all these rosters. He's got like 85 rosters on the wall. He's constantly scribbling things. He's got three phones working.
He shows up at the Pepperdine Holy Cross game. He goes up to Lorenzo Romar. Says, hey,
you got any guys, that don't mind losing 165 times a year? I'd like to talk to those guys. That is an interesting story. They were owned by their founder. I don't know how could Red Klotz, that's what I don't understand. Like, they were owned by their founder, Louis Red Klotz. How did you found a team to play against the Globetrotters? What were the Globetrotters going to do? Aren't they part of the Globetrotter organization? I would think they're now owned by the Globetrotters Entertainment group. But oh, see, this is interesting. Abe Saperstein said, and that's true. This guy sent this to us. The Globetrotters owner and founder, Abe Saperstein, invited Red Klotz to create a squad to accompany his team on the tours, in part because Klotz's team, that he played for, the Philadelphia Sfaz. There are some goofy-ass nicknames for old school. I mean, the old school nicknames of teams are ridiculous. What the hell did that mean? What's a Sfa? S-P-H-A-S. What is that? I mean, it's just the Brooklyn Dodgers were originally the Brooklyn Robins. There's a whole bunch of they were the Superbas. Superbas. What the hell is that? It's like, let's just make a word up. It's like when they make car models that sound like something, but is it really a word? You know, the Valvano Motor Car Excelente, or that actually is a Latino word. That's a bad example, but you get the gist of it. He asked Klotz to create a squad to accompany his team on the tours because the Sfaz had beaten the Globetrotters on more than one occasion. So with a nod to... Now, here we go. Do you know who the Washington Generals are named after?
No clue. Is it General George Washington?
No, not quite that far back. Dwight D. Eisenhower.
I guess he was a general.
Yes, he was. There's no debating that. He definitely was a general. That's not open to debate.
But why aren't they like the Eisenhower...
Well, because generals. I don't know. You'll have to call out Saperstein's, you know, grandson and ask
the Washington Eisenhowers.
From 1995 to 2007, the team played as the New York Nationals in maroon jerseys. Those were the dark days. Oh, my. The Generals would occasionally play teams other than the Globetrotters. They managed to record victories against the Taiwanese national team. That's in their press guide. There's a big picture on the front page of them celebrating the victory over to the Taiwanese national team with the caption, magic. Oh, my. So there you go. Very rarely have they been promoted to the Globetrotters, Washington General players. Dizzy Grant was, and Too Tall Hall in 2011. Paul Sturgis made the opposite transition. He was a former Globetrotter. After a few seasons playing for other teams, he transferred back into setup as part of the arranged opposition. Oh, good Lord. He's not that big, really? 7 feet, 8 inches tall? Wow, he really is. Paul Sturgis, English basketball player, 7 feet, 7 1/4 inches, his official measurement. There's your We Want to Know Wednesday. Who's the tallest player in the history of college basketball in the United States? Your answer, Paul Sturgis. who played for Florida Tech and Mountain State. So no disrespect to Mr. Sturgis, but if he's 7'7", he must not have been all that skilled to be playing for schools that I'm not even sure really exist. Do they? Are they real schools, or do they just make them up? Florida Tech and Mountain State. Mountain State is the College of West Virginia in Beckley, West Virginia. Oh, and you know what? They shut their doors in 2013. So that explains why we've not heard of them. So there you go. We want to know Wednesdays. Here's another one. There's a similar team named the Harlem Wizards. I actually saw them. The Harlem Wizards, here we go. Here's a factoid for you. The Harlem Wizards were Marcus Haynes started his own. He branched out on his own. He was like, screw it, I'm going to be a star myself. And he started the Harlem Wizards, and they came over and played our faculty in our high school, in our high school gym. I worked the door. That's how I know it. The owner thought he could do it better than the Globetrotters. Goose Tatum was part of them. Well, I know Marcus Haynes was, so they were a lot cheaper. You couldn't get the Globetrotters to come play Seaford High School, but you could get the Wizards. They would come over and put on a show for you. Same routines, kind of the same routines. Who is it?
Carl Schmidt, CEO of the Louisville Sports Commission, has a Paul Hornung story with the Globetrotters.
Oh, I like that. Welcome to We Want to Know Wednesday, Carl Schmidt. You must have a whole bunch of things you can contribute. What do you got for us today?
Of your Washington Generals, and I think I've already given the answer here. So what Louisville native played for the Washington Generals?
Well, it wasn't Muhammad Ali, so who would it have been?
Paul Hornung. This is the way Hornung tells the story.
Okay.
Right? So a little context here. So he's at Notre Dame, and when he gets to Notre Dame, one of the seniors takes him under his wing and says, look, here's one of the things you need to do. Study hard, get good grades, because if you do when you're a senior, you can leave campus. You can go away on weekends. You don't have to get, because they have very strict rules about the students and so forth. So Hornung was a good student, had good grades. So he gets to senior year, and again, this is Hornung telling me the story. Abe Saperstein approaches him and says, I want you to play against my Globetrotters team. I want you to play for the Generals, and I'll pay you. So Hornung says that he played in Chicago and Milwaukee and several little cities around there for the Washington Generals against the Harlem Globetrotters and got paid. He said he paid me $2,000. He goes, I never knew there was that much money in the world.
That's probably a lot more than he was getting per game in the National Football League. That's probably true.
Well, so. And I think this was still his senior year at Notre Dame, right? So it would be in the after football season is over, but he's able to leave campus and go play in these games. And you would have to think that as the Heisman winner, as a Notre Dame guy,
He's
a little bit of a gate draw, too. So Abe Saperstein knew what he was doing, right?
Oh, there's no question. As a marketer, he certainly did know that. There's no question. He was, I mean, a little bit before my time, mind you, but I'm told by people who remember Flaget that he was a good basketball player in high school, Paul, wasn't he?
He played all three sports. He was a football, basketball, baseball player. And you know, you've heard this story before. He and Schnellenberger were on those all three teams together at Flaget. Schnellenberger, year ahead. The way Schnellenberger tells the story, well, if I ever wanted to shoot, I had to get the rebound, dribble down, and shoot it. Because as soon as I passed it to Hornung, it disappeared.
Somehow, and as much as we all love Paul, don't we all believe that?
And the other thing we do know for a fact, because we have the statistics on it, that he played basketball at Notre Dame 1 year, and he averaged 6 points a game.
Well, was it on the freshman team or when he was a sophomore?
No, it was his sophomore year.
Oh, okay.
He played basketball on the varsity. Now, we know that for a fact because Notre Dame provides us with the statistics. What we don't know is a fact, but what Hornung tells us is, so when he was being recruited out of high school, Bear Bryant was the football coach at Kentucky, and Adolph Rupp was the basketball coach. And as Paul will tell you, he said, I was going to Kentucky. And the only reason he didn't, because his mom, you know, devout Catholics, wanted him to go to Notre Dame. He said, you know, that worked out pretty good for me. But anyway, I was going to Kentucky. And I said to Coach Bryant, I want to play basketball. So Coach Bryant went to Rupp and said, hey, I got a chance to sign this guy. He wants to play basketball. And he said Rupp told him that, you can try out, but you're going to have to make the team. I'm not going to put you on a team just because you're a football guy and they want to sign you. But he was going to have a chance to try out for the basketball team in Kentucky.
Well, wow, so he would have gone. And Paul was okay with that. He would have gone and done that, in other words. He was willing to try out.
Cause, Well, you know, back in those days, it was different, right? Somebody said you got to try out. You're like, game on. I'm going to try out and win. They didn't like, wait a minute. Yeah. My agent says I can't do this. My mom says I can't do that. It was like, no. Yeah, so he was a very good basketball player. And, you know, the evidence we have, 6 points per game at Notre Dame. And he also played for the Washington Generals. And he said he got $2,000 a game.
That's a lot of jack.
And I thought that's a lot of jack. But, you know, what you and I just said, Abe Saperstein's a marketing guy.
Sure.
And Horning is a Heisman winner for Notre Dame. And those cities up around there, you know, it wouldn't be hard to envision the gate being increased $2,000 or more.
Oh, easily. I would think easily. I mean, probably they were only charging probably $3 a ticket. But if he got another 1,000 people, he's making another $4,000. Yeah. Give two to Paul. He takes two. Everybody wins. So that makes sense.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's my – if you want to know Wednesday – What Louisvillian that we know played for the Washington Generals?
Now, what year? I want to look up and see how good the basketball team was when he was there. What year was he there? Do you know what year was at Notre Dame?
I'll tell you what. I know we have it on the Paul Horning Award website. If you look under Horning's background information at Notre Dame, it would either be his sophomore or junior year.
Well, what year did he win the Heisman? We'll work backwards.
56 is the football season, so he would have graduated from Notre Dame in 57.
Okay, so he either played on the 55-56 team or 54-55 team, somewhere in there.
That's right, 54-55 or 55-56.
All right, let's take a look. Let's see if they were any good. Here we go. I got every record in the book here. 54-55, they were 14-10, not bad. And 55-56, they were 9-15. 53-54, they were 22-3. He probably didn't play on that team, I'm going to guess.
That would have been his freshman year.
Yeah, so he didn't play there. So.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't know Notre Dame was good at basketball back then. They were 20-8 in 57, 24-5 in 58. I'll give you a dollar if you could tell me the name of the coach.
Yeah, nothing. I got nothing for you there. Who was it?
It was a guy named Jordan. I can't even find his first name. Let's go. That's terrible. Well, I don't even know his first name.
They didn't care about back then, Jordan.
Was it Michael Jordan?
The other question is, how many other sports did he coach at Notre Dame?
That's probably a good point. Yeah, here we go. Here are the coaches. Let's see. The all-time coaching records. It wasn't Jordan. He played for a very famous. No, he wasn't there then either. No, it was John Jordan. 13 years there. He was 199 and 131. Oh, he should have stayed one more year so he could have got his 200th win. Poor guy. John Jordan, who was the coach before him, I have a feeling you would have heard of, though. Ever hear of a guy named Moose Krause? Yeah, I think so, right?
Moose Krause, yeah. How about that?
There you go.
Well, look, that guy, you know, he won a lot of basketball games, didn't he?
He did. He absolutely did. So, you know, I've got to see. I'm stalling because I'm trying to find his bio to see if you're right because they will obviously tell his whole history. I want to see what else he coached there. I'll bet you he coached. He must have coached something else because, I mean, it was such a.
He coached boxing.
or boxing or fencing or something. Where the hell are all the coaches? Where'd they go? Here we go. Coaches. Okay. Coaches right there. All right. Here's Jordan. Let's see what they said about him. He was give me a bio on the guy right there. John Jordan, 51 through 64. Coached, best known for coaching men's basketball at Notre Dame. He played for Ray Meyer and Moose Krause.
Wow.
Let's see. That's it. He just did basketball. Then he worked for the park department in Chicago.
Well, sure he did. My real job is the parks department. After work, I drive over to Notre Dame.
All right, my friend. Congratulations on another fine Horning Award process. You got to be pretty pleased with the guy you got. So good for you.
Yeah, I think it's well-deserved, you know, and I know people, you know, there's been a lot of things thrown around about him and that whole thing that happened at the Virginia Tech game, but here's a young man that came from some pretty tough background, and when they say when he got to Kentucky, he was kind of at a crossroads. He had, you know, some anger issues, chip on his shoulder, and had a son born and decided he was going to change his life around and dedicated himself to be the best he could be and try to play in the NFL so he could give his son a better life. And look, is he perfect? Who is? But, it's a great story, and he's a well-deserved winner.
By the way, you were all over the TV for the Heisman thing. What are you doing? I thought you were a finalist for a short while. What was that all?
So what happens there is that Horning goes, and Paul goes because they make a donation to his favorite charity, and so he goes to the TV show, and they sat Julie Howell and me on our staff. We accompanied Paul, like his travel people, on the floor close to him in case he needed anything, and when we sit down, all of a sudden, next thing we know, there's all these LSU people sitting behind us, because just to our right at the center aisle was the head coach and the mom and dad, but then in the rest of that row was the rest of the LSU people. We thought, well, that's like the third cousin and the uncle and the grandmother and, the high school coach and all that stuff, and they'll never make it on the air. Well, this guy decides to hug everybody, right? He hugs that whole row. And as soon as I saw him going down hugging that whole row, I said to myself, there's no way I can avoid being on TV. I just got to make sure that I'm not. I tried to duck out, but I knew it was coming, and sure as heck, here he comes down that row. He hugged every person that had an LSU connection. So, but we're up there with Paul, and it's an interesting thing, Bob. All these younger guys in the Heisman, they just all treat Paul Horning with the highest level of respect. The fact that he comes back and they look at what he did as a player and how amazing he was as a player. And it's a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is very cool. Do you get any goodies? Did you get a goodie bag? Do you get a goodie bag?
No, but the goodies that we get is we get to know, some of the players. Like, we've got a good relationship with Tim Tebow, and we'd like someday maybe for him to be the speaker at the Horning game.
Nice.
We got to know the Heisman people enough that, and they're comfortable with us. Paul did two commercials, those Nissan Heisman House commercials. He did two of those this summer, and he's in them, and they've been running, and they're fabulous commercials. So that kind of stuff, just getting to know and making a lot of connections in the college football world has been very helpful for us.
Buddy, it's good to talk to you. Happy New Year. Continued success over there. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Carl Schmidt with a good We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. 1 o'clock, Eric Crawdaddy is going to join us, right? So Eric Crawford will be with us. Then we're going to have Hoops going to join us a little bit later. Hoops Green played at Lexington Catholic and now a member of the Globetrotters. She's going to be in studio with us. Hope she brings a basketball. I hope they bring two basketballs, because the one thing I could still do, even at my advanced age, I can still spin a ball on my finger. That'd be a cool picture, the two of us standing there spinning. Well, that make it sound like we're autistic. Spinning the ball. And I'm not talking about just twirling around in a revolving chair. I'm not sure that would make a really good image at all. So anyway, hopefully she'll enjoy her visit. We'll look forward to speaking with her. The Globies are in town, which we want to know Wednesday. Send us good facts, and we'll see if they don't have to be related to reproductive organs of wild animals. Certainly we're not specializing in that on Wednesdays. So, but if you send us some good ones, we'll pick the best one, and we might have we'll have a prize for you. We're trying to figure out if it's going to be Globies tickets or not. I don't know if part of the trade is they gave us Globies tickets. It is a absolute fire drill in there. Yeah, people diving under tables. Yes, by the way, if you're just joining us, because the texts continue to come in, the stream is down, but it is going to hopefully be back up soon. So we shall see if we can get that thing up and working here in just a moment. So I guess that's, let's see. Oh, do we have a good caller before the end of the hour? All right, that's nice. It's
Stream's
back up. The stream is up. The stream is up. Ladies and gentlemen, the ball is down. The stream is up. It's good. It's good. Stream is up. It's good. They made it. Unbelievable. The stream is up again. All right. So now Birdhead Ryan is that who that is? All right. He always brings some quality stuff to the proceedings. Now, why could you only call if the stream were up, though? You could call anyway. The phones still work.
Well, if the stream isn't up, then people aren't going to hear the wonderful We Want to Know Wednesday.
You were saving it, huh? All right. Fair enough.
I was saving it. I feel like this is not going to live up to the hype that I'm trying to bring. It'll never match the one that I presented a few months ago with the mascots in the Hall of Fame. I think that one was Hall of Fame worthy, if
Yes. If we do have a WWKW Hall of Fame, I think that would be certainly on the ballot and might very well be first ballot winner. I don't know. We'll see.
So I can't decide if this is one that you definitely know or have no idea of, but it involves Italian food.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Did you know
right.
that the Caesar salad was not invented in Italy?
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say by Julius Caesar. I was fairly certain he didn't have anything to do with it. But no, I don't know where the Caesar salad is from, so I have no idea. I do know the Waldorf salad was invented at the Waldorf Astoria. That's why it's got its name. The chef at the Waldorf Astoria made that up. But the Caesar salad, I know not of its origin. Enlighten us.
The Caesar salad was invented in Tijuana, Mexico.
Really?
By an Italian-American chef, Cesar Cardini.
Oh, that's how it gets its name.
But it is an Italian name, but it was actually invented in Mexico, which I found fascinating. And you either were going to definitely know that.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
And not have an idea.
Oh, and now I will have that at my – I can bore people in dinner parties now because they almost inevitably have Caesar salad. I will point out, did you know this was invented in Tijuana by Cesar Cardini in 1924? That's how it was. That was made up. An Italian immigrant who operated restaurants in both Mexico and the United States. He was living in San Diego, working in Tijuana to avoid the restrictions of prohibition. So he invented the salad at his restaurant, Caesar's. In a 4th of July rush in 1924, the kitchen got low on supplies. He made do with what he had. He made the whole thing up, and he added the dramatic flair of the tableside tossing by the chef. There's a man turning adversity into advantage. How about that?
That's right.
So that's
Take
a
care,
good one.
Go-kart.
Very nice. Yeah, no, that's a good one. Cesar Cardini, old man Cardini's kid. All right, now you guys are starting to piss me off a little bit. The stream is up. You have no business being in there anymore, okay? Why are you all still in there? The stream is up. Your work is finished. Now everybody get the hell out. It's like Grand Central Station in there, all right? I understand we had to do what we had to do, but now it's up.
Talk sports, damn it.
No, it's all up.
I'm coaching. Come on, you should appreciate this.
Your coach, what, are you showing them to avoid this problem in the future?
Yes.
How did it go down in the first place?
Boy, you're going to love this.
Oh,
this is right up Bobby V's alley.
I'm so glad Nick is not here because somehow he'd have been in the middle of it, and he's not. So what happened?
All right, so here's the problem. Near the end of Locke Show, when he was telling people to get over it, the Jordan War didn't really have a real death threat in the entire thing.
Jordan
okay?
came over and unplugged it.
Right. Well, that's what happened. Exactly. No. The All-American walked in here. No. So we lost stream. So I've been through all these different help things.
Right.
I've been tracing cords
yes.
for the last hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Okay.
I like where this is headed.
And so I talked to Ken S., who is tech support.
Old man S.'s kid.
Who seemed in the chat like a real person. I was throwing him some odd questions, and he was answering them not like a computer. So I was delighted
person.
Because.
I dated people like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, because our contact was like, yeah, I don't know the problem. So I'm like, well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
So thank you. So you know how this is.
Okay.
So I get our engineer on the phone. He logs in. He's like, oh, yeah, we got some sort of a problem. I thought one of our boxes, if you will, audio boxes had died, which would be a massive problem.
Yes.
Which means Patty Ice would leave or process and go to a guitar store
right.
or somewhere to
yep.
go buy one. That was a leader in the clubhouse. And no, we just needed to reset something.
Please don't tell me it was turn it off and turn it back on.
It wasn't turn it off, turn it back on, but we have a major switcher here that can feed different feeds to the stream. And we just hit a couple buttons.
Somebody hit a button?
And well, no, we didn't do anything wrong. It just like froze up.
What? It's not, and just, it, that happens.
And it's
Computers
quote never it's quote never done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's made not to do that. So yes, it was a one button fix, thank God.
You will appreciate
an
this.
An hour and a half.
You will appreciate this text, the knowing you. The text says Andy was busy in the chat rooms.
We have a medley of you saying chat room.
I didn't know
Grossman
what the hell
find
you called it.
It. Find it, the chat rooms.
I didn't know what the hell you called it.
Well, what
it.
I said was back in the dial-up days,
it
you know,
was
chat,
a chat room.
Yeah, but now chat rooms are dirty and filthy.
Oh, well,
now if
how
you
do
go
you know
to a
I'm
chat
not
room,
there? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, it's something. So, Crean is going to find this. It would have been, what, 2 days ago. He is going to
the
find this.
The problem is nobody could tell me what to really properly call it until Round Daddy said call it a message board.
Well, I would say message boards
so
and Twitter would be
well,
the
no,
two.
Well, no, it wasn't Twitter, though. I'm talking those places where, you know, it's dedicated to, like, you know, the techs, you know, fan base thing, and they're all in there and they leave messages for each other.
All right, here it is. Hang tight.
All right. Chat room. Is this a chat room medley we can refer to this as? You go on the chat rooms. You said that one of the reasons you think it was newsworthy is you went in the chat room. And were people in the chat rooms? You go in the chat room.
I like chat room.
That's almost as good as me saying trains. If I can get on a chat room while riding a train, I shouldn't say that anymore because the chat rooms are it's, yeah, it's.
Do you want to break and get Crawford on?
Maybe, maybe not. Will he talk to us in a chat room? See, now that I know it connotates, you know, obscene talking. I don't. Now it's not as amusing to me because I wasn't implying anything about that. Anyway, all right, that's enough of that whole tomfoolery. But there you go. So that was the big dramatic moment. The computer froze up. We went through 500 sources to try and fix it and found out basically just reset everything and it fixed itself, which is 99% of the way things seemingly get done in big time radio. We'll take a short break. Eric Crawford will join us next. Thanks for being with us. ESPN 680 1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.